بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم قال الله تعالى قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama kiram, elders and brothers, the ayat which I recited before you are the beginning verses of Suratul Jin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam to this world to give mankind direction. And from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam till the revelation of the Quran Sharif, approximately 104 scriptures were revealed. This deen is complete, this deen is perfect, and we have been given direction in every facet of our lives. Whatever problem we are experiencing, whatever situation it is, the Quran Sharif and Hadith has already given us directives as to what we need to do. The main problem is, the last place we will look for assistance is the Quran and Hadith. And even if we look towards it, we don't take it serious and we do not benefit from it as we ought to benefit from it. So we are looking for the solutions everywhere else rather than looking for it in the Quran Sharif and the Hadith. And that is why it is important that in every aspect we need to educate ourselves. When we get knowledge and education, then we can understand things correctly and put things in perspective. Otherwise, we will be mixing up things, we will get confused, we won't know what to do, we won't know which direction to go in. This is actually a very lengthy topic, but inshallah we're going to try to condense it in 40-45 minutes, just the important points. We already had one program on this topic, and this is, so to say, like a continuation of that program. So we're going to give, inshallah, the main points that we need to know from the previous program as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah in the Quran Sharif, and this surah is called Suratul Jin. There is a background story to the revelation of the surah. Before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the dunya, the jinnat had free access into the skies. So they would go into the skies and they would hear the conversation of the farishtas and angels, and they would come down and give that information to the fortune tellers. So fortune telling was very rife at that time. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the dunya, there was a whole change now in the system. When the jinnat were going to the skies, they seen that they were blocked. They did not have free access. And if they came close, they came near, then there is a flame, a ball of fire, or a shooting star that is aiming towards it. So they were quite concerned as to what happened in the dunya. How come this sudden change? So they sent out different delegations. فَضْرِبُوا مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. Travel to the east, travel to the west. And let's find out what happened, what transpired, why is this change has come about in the system of the skies. So there was one group that came towards Tihama. Tihama is Makkah Mukarrama, and the surroundings of Makkah Mukarrama is called Tihama. That time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a place called Nakhl. He was heading with a group of Sahaba towards the Suq-e-Ukaz. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was performing the Fajr namaz. When these jinnat seen this, and they came closer, when they heard the recitation of the Quran Sharif, they said, indeed, this is something amazing. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَّرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. Say, the revelation has been sent to me that a group of jinnat have listened attentively, and then they said, إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Indeed, we have heard an amazing Quran, an amazing recitation. يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ. That takes a person to guidance, and we bring iman in it. We bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we bring iman in the Quran, we bring iman in Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They realized that this is what had changed the whole system of the skies. Now from this, you also understand the beauty of the Quran Sharif, the power of the Quran Sharif, the beauty of the Quran Sharif, and the impact of the Quran Sharif. Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi was a master of illustration. So he just gave an example. In the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, according to some reports, there were thousands of magicians. Thousands, not one or two magicians that came. Thousands of magicians came to combat Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And they threw down their sticks and their ropes and really frightened the people. The Quran Sharif says, وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. They brought a very serious type of magic that they had presented in that gathering. And naturally, Hazrat Musa Islam also felt a bit frightened because he's also got a similar miracle. But then when Hazrat Musa Islam threw down his rod, his staff, it devoured all those other sticks and all those other ropes. And the haq became apparent from the batil and falsehood. So Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi says, the Quran Sharif is like the staff of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Where the Quran Sharif is being recited, it will devour all different forms of batil. But that is provided with reading the Quran Sharif with that amount of concentration and that amount of conviction. If you're not reading it in the manner we ought to read it, then you're not going to get the required benefit. Like the ulama say, as-sayfu bid-darib. You can take the best sword, but put it in the hands of a small child, what is it going to do? What matters is in whose hands the sword is. The sword is powerful, the sword is sharp, but the person who is holding the sword, he also has to have that level of strength. So we have to also read with that type of spiritual strength, that concentration, that conviction, then you will see the effect of the Quran Sharif. So this is one incident that happened in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these beginning verses of Surah Jin were revealed. And jinnat are a reality. They are something that you cannot deny the existence of it. All religions accept the existence of jinnat. Maybe they got different names for it. Somewhere they're calling it demons, somewhere they're calling it spirits, they're calling it different names, but they all are accepting it. In fact, some time ago, I read a research that even some scientists, not the mainstream now, because the mainstream scientists won't allow something like this to come to the fore, because if you're going to see the whole thing, is they don't want people to believe in the unseen. Because if you can say you believe in the unseen, then you'll believe in jinnat, then you'll believe in angels, then you'll believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah protect. But some of these people have got very sinister intentions. Their intentions is to take people towards atheism. Yet some of them also know very well that jinnat do exist. People who are promoting some of these things, they themselves know very well, and they are using it on a large scale. The kuffar, the disbelievers, the Yahud, the Jews, are using jinnat on a large scale for their own agendas. And I don't wish to go into details, as I mentioned now, but there's a lot of different reasons why we are saying this. So, this is a reality, but at the same token, We must not become paranoid. Remember, moderation is very, very important in life. As soon as you go off the road of moderation, then you're going to be misguided. So there is jinnat, they do exist. They always existed in the time of Rasulullah SAW before. In fact, jinnat are in the dunya before us. Before Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُّ. Allah Ta'ala says, before Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, we already created the jinnat. They were in the dunya, then they started causing havoc, they were creating corruption, there was bloodshed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to chase them away and push them away into the mountains and the islands. So the jinnat were here, they are here. There's good jinnat, there are bad. You get all different types of jinnat. You get all sorts of jinnat. Hazrat Amash rahmatullahi alayhi, Hafiz ibn Kasir mentioned a narration that Amash rahmatullahi alayhi once, he met a jinn. So the jinnat came there and he met him. So he asked the jinnat, what food is most beloved to you? So the jinnat told him, rice. So Hazrat Amash brought a whole bowl of rice and he presented it. Now he couldn't see this thing, but he was communicating with it. So he just saw that the rice is just disappearing, like, you know, one lukma is going and the thing is eating the rice. So then he asked the jinnat that, do you have all these different sects? Like, we've got different sects now in human beings. Yeah, we've got all the sects. So he asked him, which is the worst of the lot? Said, Ar-Rafida, the Shias. Even the jinnat, you get Shias also. Said, the worst of the lot are the Shias. I'm showing you, you get different types of jinnat, you get different categories, different strengths also. You get, like, for example, the Ifrit is very strong. Among the jinnat, the Ifrit is known for its strength. Some say the Shayateen also are very strong. Then you get the weaker ones, you get the smaller ones. Generally, they live longer than human beings. So you will get incidents. Shah Ahlullah was from the family of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. So there's an incident that once he killed a snake in the house. Now the hadith also mentions that certain jinnats are in the form of snakes and in the form of dogs. In Madinah Munawwara, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba at that time that there are certain snakes that are living in the homes, that before you kill them, give them grace for 2-3 days, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them to read certain things, and that thing will go away, and if it doesn't go away, then you kill it. Don't kill it before that. So Sha'alullah, he saw this big snake in his house, he took his sword, he chopped it. In the middle of the night, he hears a knock on the door. Someone came to summon him. You're being summoned to a court. There's a court case happening, and you have been summoned. So he goes, and there's a whole court case there. The family of the jinnat laid a claim against him to say that this person, he has killed our family member. So Sha'alullah told the judge, how was I supposed to know that that was a jinnat? I saw a snake in my house. It was a threat to me. So I killed it. So the judge is telling him, the judge was a sahabi, and he said, I heard Rasulullah ﷺ saying, Man qutila fi ghayri ziyihi fadamun hadrun, fadamuhu hadrun. Any jinnat that is killed in another form, other than its original form, then the blood money will fall away and you cannot hold anyone responsible. And the whole case was dismissed and Sha'alullah came back home. So they say that jinnat generally live longer than you. So 500-600 years, 700 years is quite a normal lifespan for them. They live for quite long. So as we mentioned, these are realities, but we do not become paranoid. And we do not attribute every single thing to jinnat. Rather, when you look at something, it's always good to look at it with a holistic approach. So even if you are thinking that maybe there is some interference, spiritual, you'll also look at it from the physical angle. Don't only look at it from the spiritual end. So you will check yourself up. If you need to go to the doctor, let the doctor check you, let him assess you. Or you can go to a hakim, whatever a person prefers himself. Personal preference, someone wants to go with the allopathic, or he wants to go with the herbal, the alternate. But at the same token, you can't completely deny it. Then you get another group of people who completely deny this jinnah. So some few months ago, some people were circulating one post of a person, a prominent person, and he's saying, you know what, people who say that someone did something for them, then, you know, get that thing out of your head and no one did anything for you, and rather go to the doctor. So when someone showed me this post, I said, see, definitely there are a lot of people that have got wahab. You must remember that. There are a lot of people that don't suffer with jinnat or anything. They're suffering with waham. They just got suspicion in their mind. Waham got no treatment. You can, no matter what you'll do, that person's not going to come right. So he needs to correct his mind, get his mind right, to say, take it out of your mind. Don't let this thing consume your mind. But at the same token, then to completely deny all the situations, so I said, perhaps this person doesn't know how many doctors come for treatment. That is why he's making a statement like this, go to the doctor. So if the doctor had the solution to every problem, then no doctor would be coming for any spiritual treatment. And perhaps he doesn't know how many times, like ulama or people who do this, they are called to the hospitals. So the person is in hospital, he's got his access to all the treatment, but he's not coming right. A few weeks ago, I had to go and visit a person. Went to four doctors, took 8 injections, I don't know how many causes of antibiotics, but not coming right. Man doesn't know what's wrong, hospitalized. And sometimes just with a little bit of recitation of the Quran Sharif, with that person just doing a few things, and within few days, the person is on the road to recovery. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We rather not, you know, be hasty to make decisions, but at the same token, don't be paranoid. A balance is very, very important. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, Hazrat Alqama asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, were anyone with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the night when he went to meet the jinnat? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an said, no, we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah Mukarramah, and all of a sudden, we lost him. We're with him, now we're looking for him. We're looking for him in the valleys. We're looking for him in the mountain passes. Till now, they say, in the Saudi, in the desert areas, you'll find a lot of jinnat, especially in the valleys. So sometimes people that are traveling, they'll take a person, they call him a muhawi. So a muhawi is someone who can see these things. Maybe he's had some interaction. So he'll tell them, now pitch the tent here, don't pitch the tent there. You pitch the tent there, you're going to have problems. Sometimes the shepherd takes his animals there, then something will start attacking. Then he goes to another location, then he's fine. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu were worried. They're looking for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam everywhere. They say, it's bitna bi sharri laylatin. That worst night that we spent was that night. They're so worried. Maybe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, someone had assassinated him. Maybe the jinnat had taken him away. They were worried. And in the morning, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is coming back from Hira. So the authentic hadith comes in Sahih Muslim. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell him, we were so worried about you last night. So he said that, Atani da'il jinn, that one person came to invite me from the jinnat. So I accepted his invitation, and I went, and I recited Quran Sharif to them. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to recite Quran Sharif also to the jinnat. Until now, you will get jinnat studying in madrasas as well. Often in a madrasa, I met one person, maybe about before COVID, 2-3 years, so about 7-8 years back. And this person, he had like contact with these jinnat. He was an alim also. Plus he had a doctorate, so he was a doctor as well. So a lot of the jinnats that he had were those that were studying with him in Dioban. He studied in Dioban Madrasa. So his classmates, he was using them to do some work and whatever. He was speaking to the jinnat and he was using them. So he still studied till this day and time. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited Surah Rahman to the Sahaba. Now in Surah Rahman, 31 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which favor of your Lord do you deny? So Sahaba heard the recitation, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I see that you people are silent. But when I recited it to the jinnat, they were better in response. They said, because it's a question being posed, that which of the favor of your Lord do you too deny? It's being addressed to the humans and the jinnat. So they said, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعْمِكَ رَبَّنَا نُكَذِّبُ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ O Allah, we don't deny any of your favors. All praise belongs to you. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your brothers from the jinnat, they were better in response. That is another narration. So here going back to this Laylatul Jinn, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took them, he showed the Sahaba that this is the traces, this was, you know, where the fire was burning. And then he said that they asked him for some provisions. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them that you can have the bones. لَكُمْ كُلُّ عَزْمٍ ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ That every bone that the name of Allah was taken upon it, meaning that the animal was slaughtered in the shari'i manner, when the animal was slaughtered, Bismillah was recited, O فَرَمَا يَكُونُ الْأَحْمَنُ The person who eats the bone and he doesn't say Bismillah, then the jinnat will get that bone and it will have full meat on it. For them it will have full meat and full nutrition and they will eat it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said for your animals, so you also understand that they also have animals and they have like horses etc. to as modes of transport. For your animals will be every piece of dung. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, فَلَا تَسْتَنْجُوا بِهِمَا Don't use bones and don't use dung for istinja. فَإِنَّهُمَا طَعَامُ إِخْوَانِكُمْ Because this is the food of your brothers from the jinnat. Quran Sharif speaks about Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. Among the miracles, you know, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam was one of the most powerful kings in the history of mankind. He also had the jinnat under him. وَمِنَ الشَّيَاطِينِ مَنْ يَغُوسُونَ لَهُ وَيَعْمَلُونَ عَمَلًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ The shayateen used to dive deep down into the sea and they should pull out pearls for Hazrat Sulaiman a.s. In Surah Sabah, Allah Ta'ala says, يَعْمَلُونَ لَهُ مَا يَشَاءُ مِنْ مَحَارِيبٍ وَتَمَاثِيلٍ وَجِفَانٍ كَالْجَوَابِ وَقُدُورِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ They will make for him whatever he wanted them to make, arches and sculptures, and they would make for him huge basins like tanks and big cauldrons, big pots that were firmly fixed at a certain point. The Quran Sharif also speaks about when Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away. I'm not going to go into it now because it's going to get a few things that I feel maybe I need to mention towards the end. But Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away. For about 1 year he was on the stick. And the jinnat were completing the Masjid Aqsa. Till now you go to the Masjid Aqsa, go to the Masjid Qadim and they'll show you the big, big boulders, how it has been placed there. You'll see those pillars now. From the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, how those pillars were structured. So he was using the jinn. So for about 1 year he waited, he actually passed away, but he was holding on the stick and after 1 year the termites ate the stick and then Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam fell down and then the jinnat realized that he died already 1 year ago, he passed away. And they didn't know that. So that's why. So this is all mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's plenty of hadith. As I mentioned, time does not permit us now to go into too many details. There's a lot of stories of pious people, people's experiences. Till now you'll get different people giving you different incidents, different experiences. Jinnat generally fright for pious people. That is why they say, taqwa is the best fort. If a man got taqwa, see, when we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will put our fear in the heart of everything. But when we fear the creation, then we will be at a loss. That's the biggest problem. We are afraid of the creation. We are not supposed to be afraid of the creation, not of jinnat and not of anything else. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. مَا مِن دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاسِيَتِهِ Allah is holding every creature, every moving creature by its forelock. It can't do anything. Can't make a move without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. So we have to adopt taqwa. One of our ustads, Mufti Zakir Sahib from Bangladesh, told me some years ago he went to Bangladesh, he went to a very great amil and a Sheikhul Hadith and a Mufti, Sheikh Ahmad Rahmatullah Ali, and he went to him to get permission, and he also got the booklet, small booklet, he gave it to me of that Sheikh, some of his amals, etc., what he was using. So the person advised him that be strong in tasawwuf. That means your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr. Zikr is a very strong force. The more zikr comes in our lives, and particularly they speak about the loud zikr. Jahri zikr. Person makes a loud zikr. He has to make a loud zikr. It's advisable to get it under a sheikh, someone who is experienced, that can guide you along the way. You know, you don't want to start making too much of zikr. Sometimes people make too much of zikr and that can have some effect on them. So you start gradually, slowly. Like everything, it's good to be under someone's supervision. But these, the morning and evening du'as, are extremely important. Don't undermine it. A'udhu billahi as-sami'il alim min ash-shaytani rajim 3 times. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa alimul ghaibi wa shahada huwa rahmanur rahim till the end of the surah, the 3 ayats, once. There are narrations which say that if a person reads that in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints 70,000 angels. يَطْرُدُونَ عَنْهُ شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِ They will push away all the shayateen, human beings, shayateen, jinnat. So that will give you protection till the night. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير 100 times. For that day, the person is protected against shaitan, against jinnat, the manzil. I'm going to eventually end up with the manzil. Inshallah, after the program, we will give out the brochures. Brochures are kept on that side. We have got some guidelines there, some amals as well, for someone who feels that they may be affected. And remember, if you use this, it's not going to harm you in any way. In fact, the Quran Sharif has got shifa in it. Manzil has got shifa for 100 sicknesses. Some mashayikh say, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَشْفِ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَا شِفَى لَهُ Who doesn't seek shifa from the Quran, there's no shifa for him. Doesn't mean you mustn't take your medication, but always read Quran. Surah Fatiha got shifa. Manzil got shifa. Quran Sharif got shifa. This is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's amazing stories of people, the recitation of the Quran Sharif. There's one amil in Pakistan, quite a few of these different people throughout the world. Some of them have got their own websites and get print books, etc. So he mentioned a certain amal of أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثُوا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ till the end of the Surah Mu'minun, till وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ and Azan. Azan got a lot of benefits. Person is depressed also, you give azan in his ears, inshallah, that depression will start going down. So this person, he speaks about this amal, and as I mentioned, time does not now permit us to go into too many details, I'm just going to hint towards it. So he's got a whole booklet of people who use this and the benefits that they found. So one incident he got there, a woman was suffering with a mental problem for 17 years. 17 years she had a mental problem, they admitted her into the hospital, clinic, they tried everything. She just wasn't coming right. So her nephew came to this Maulana and he told him, read this now, Afasibtum till the end 7 times, Azan 7 times, put your mouth by the right ear, read it in the right ear, then do it in the left ear, do it multiple times a day. So that person started doing it after every namaz, says in 15 days, the lady was cured after 17 years. So many years, she tried everything, nothing could help her. And eventually, they did this year, and like that, there's so many different incidents showing you the barakat of the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif, you recite Quran Sharif, Surah Al-Baqarah, you got Manzil, you got Surah Yasin, you got Surah Muzammil. Every surah is a unique surah. Every surah, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. It's got so many benefits. So we have to start reading, connect ourselves to the masjid, be in the right environments, come in the environments where there's angels, make our homes angel friendly. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed angels to protect us, but we chase those angels away through music. We chase those angels away to the pictures of animate objects. We're keeping all these things in our homes, and we are chasing the angels away. That is when the shayateen are coming in, and the jinnat are coming in, and that's when you're getting all these different problems. So there's different things. As I mentioned, the jinnat, they frighten for pious people. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was the Grand Mufti of India, but also he was like a king in that world. Here also time does not permit us to go into too many details, but there are good few instances when people were suffering with jinnat, and Mufti Mahmud Sahib said, just go and convey my salams to that person. And he just came and conveyed. Mufti Mahmud Sahib gave salams, the jinnat was gone. He disappeared, he ran away from it. Just heard the name. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Ali, there was one house, there was jinnat in that house. So no one was staying there. So Haji Sahib was there, and the people saw the buzuk is here. Hazrat, come stay here in this house, you know, like took him as a mehman. Haji Imdadullah wakes up tajud time, something's pressing his legs. By who you? You know, jinnat. We are here, that's why no one else is staying here in this house. So, but we were so desirous to meet you, that jinnat is telling him, that we were so desirous to meet you. But finally now Allah Ta'ala fulfilled our desire. So Haji Imdadullah made out now what's the story. So he said, you claiming to love me, and you got confidence in me, and you're harming all these people. And Hazrat, we're making tawbah now. We're going now. After this, we won't come back. Alhamdulillah, the thing went away. So there's a lot of incidents like this here. People being possessed. One person came to me a few years ago. This thing was possessing his wife. Wife was normal, maybe having some small issues. I don't know where he took her, what they did. Something started possessing her now, talking to her. Now, it's a very uncomfortable thing. You don't realize this. Sometimes that person is in a public gathering. You went for a function, you went for a wedding. Next minute, she'll get irritated about something. That thing will start talking. Huh? What you saying? You know what? Who I am? I'm not Fatima. I'm John. I come from this bush here. All the people will get frightened. So this poor chap now doesn't know now what to do, because this thing is happening to his wife all the time. And then, so you must remember, these things, when they possess you, often there's also a physical deficiency. Sometimes you'll find people are anemic. Someone, the blood is very weak, or he's got some iron deficiency. Iron deficiency. You don't do cuppings for every person. You're not supposed to be doing cupping. Cuppings is a treatment, it's a sunnat. It's got a lot of benefits. It helps a lot of people. But every person is not supposed to be doing cuppings. Someone is anemic, someone got some iron deficiency. So if you've got that iron deficiency, and then you're still going and doing cuppings, then this thing is going to take full control over you, because your body is weak. One girl, this similar thing happened to another person. Just from that thing, all of a sudden, one day something possessed her, she started speaking a little bit. I told her family, she just went for cuppings before that, 2-3 sessions of cuppings. So they went to the lab, that they wanted to actually admit her. They said the blood level is so low, they need to actually admit her. But then, fortunately, then she started drinking that ABC juice and having whatever tablets they gave her, and alhamdulillah, after a little while. But after that thing never happened. But when that iron deficiency was there, the blood levels were low. So anyway, this person came to me. So I told him, okay, just get 3 apples every day. 3 red apples. In Urdu they say, Jo seb khata hai, uske paas aseb nahi aata hai. Person who eats apples, red apples got a lot of benefit, even for the heart. Jinnat won't trouble that person. Why? Because he's strong. So mentally he's strong, his heart is strong. These things strive of our weakness. So you must also look at what's a weakness in you. Often our lifestyles are very unhealthy. The food we're eating is unhealthy. We're not doing any exercise. And now you're suffering with all this. You have to change your lifestyle as well. Don't just sit back and think you're going to just get one taweez or something and magic is going to happen. No. If you need that treatment, you're getting it from a reliable source, that's fine. But at the same token, look at the physical problem as well. So this person, alhamdulillah, we gave him a few other things to do, manzil, whatever. Each red apple, they were reading, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah il aliyyil azim, 3 times, blowing on it. After 1 week, alhamdulillah, that attack stopped. At least the man could go out now. He could take his wife, go into a public gathering. 1-2 small issues stayed. But certain things you can live with. It's not something so serious. So I wanted to mention this because one is to also understand this thing about cuppings. This is about a few weeks ago, one person phoned me. And his son had some small issues. Then he went somewhere. Then they cupped him. Then again, after 1 week, I don't know how much of blood, completely possessed now. Now he's talking and screaming. And so eventually they take him to a psychiatrist and put him on medication. So I tell him, see, just for now, don't do any cuppings now. Because you're taking out so much blood from this person. So all these things has to be done under someone who is very, very qualified and experienced. Unfortunately, now these things are not governed. So anyone, someone does one crash course, just 3 days did a course, he doesn't have any knowledge of the medical field, he doesn't know anything, he's doing it, then in some instances, it can cause more harm. So we have to be careful, be wary of these things. Otherwise, if this weakness is going to come into a person, then he will be an easy target for the jinnat to take control of him or to possess him. So you've got these situations. Also jinnat, they put nazar on you. Jinnat can put sihr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, min nafkhihi wa nafthihi wa hamzihi. So shaitan causes pride to come in a person. It can put sihr on a person. Shaitan puts thoughts in your mind. Waswasa. Waswasa is a major problem. It's a very, very serious problem. And try to, as soon as someone gets his waswasa, try to nip it in the bud and get some help for the person. Because that waswasa can get very, very serious. This insinuations is taught all from shayateen and jinnat. You get this waswasa, so you got to ignore it. Sometimes you need to read some things. Sometimes you need to strengthen your mind. The mind is weak. You need to strengthen your mind. So we need to do all these different things. One of my students related to me that he went in Jamaat to a certain area. I won't mention the name of the area, but in KZN, but not in central Durban. So there was one drug lord, Muslim, in that place. They told them to go and meet him. The Jamaat, alhamdulillah, they go and meet everyone. And sometimes through the barakat of that, people change their lives. So they met this person. Now this, apparently this place, this distributes like to different areas, the drugs. So they were actually seeing like people making and, you know, mixing powders and what and what. So this man told him, okay, I can see y'all seem to be like, you know, unaware of what's really happening. So he brought one packet. He said, what's inside this packet? So they looked at it. They said, no, this is like Zol, cannabis. He said, no, whatever, look properly. You can see that. He said, can't you see there's a powdery substance here? Okay, what's that? He said, that we get from the Sangoma. That is black magic. We put it here. So when that person smokes this, then he always comes back. He doesn't want to stop after that. So what they mentioned is that a lot of these drug lords, this is what they are using, this is what they are doing. So a lot of people that have got drug problems, and even some, for that matter, alcohol, they will only recover if they also do spiritual treatment. So with the physical treatment, the rehab, whatever else needs to be done for them, you'll do all that. but you also have to add this into it. And there are a few cases of this nature that only after they started doing this here, alhamdulillah, then they found that they recovered and they found that now they left the habit. So there's, as I mentioned, there's different aspects, there's different treatments also for this. But among the most effective, comprehensive and easy things is the manzil. Person reads the manzil morning, it gives him protection till the night. He reads it in the night, it will give him protection till the morning. Manzil, in some instances, you should read and blow in the water. Drink the water. Now you ask people sometimes, how much drinking? No, I drink one cup. No, sometimes you need to drink 2 liters. It depends now, what's the problem? Sometimes you need to flush your system. So you need, a lot of us, that is one of our deficiencies. We're not drinking enough water. So that's why a lot of problems are coming. A lot of medical problems also, a lot of sicknesses. Man drinks water, but clean water. Clean water, purified water, he's drinking, then that flushes out all the filth from the system, all the toxins from the system, it flushes it out. So similarly, for the spiritual effects, you drink the water. There was one, like Amili should give people something to put in the water, and every day 3 liters you must drink. If you go back to him, you tell him, you're not drinking 3 liters, chase you away, you're wasting my time. You drink 3 liters, then you come back. So you need to drink a considerable amount. Every person will see what his body can manage based on his weight, etc. But you need to drink the water. Spraying the water is also very effective. The manzil water, you keep a spray bottle, you can spray it in your house, you can spray it on yourself. Now I just want to conclude with the last incident. There is a Amil in India, I won't mention his name. A lot of these people don't even like you to mention their names, because people won't leave them in peace after that. So he, Allah Ta'ala blessed him from a very young age. He had some link with these jinnats, etc. And he learned this field. That also is another story of how he got that, but I don't wish to go into that details. I just want to show you about the manzil. So he's originally from Bangladesh, but then he moved over to India. So they were studying in the madrasa, and from the time he was a student, already people made out that this young boy is quite good in treating people. So he did certain cases, people were sick, etc. He just came, he did something, the person felt better. So in Bangladesh, this is like maybe 40, 50 years back story, there was one person who was a Pir Sab. He claimed to be like a very powerful Pir Sab, and he's getting people come, no namaz, no nothing. Allah protect you, getting all sorts of people in the dunya. One man became a pizza, one person became this. Allah must protect us. We mustn't get carried away with all this. And people are coming to him, you don't need to read namaz, you don't need to just do this here. So he was misguiding people. So one Jamaat Sati in Bangladesh, he decided to approach that pizza, give him some dawat. Told him, you know what are you doing now? You know, you thought people are coming to you, you should tell them to read. Why are you not guiding the people? Pizza got very angry. He said, see all these people coming to me. Look at how much they progressed. You so long in Jamaat, what you achieved? You achieved nothing. Look at these people. Call them. That person saying, I got so much of wealth. I got this. I got that. Eventually the pizza got angry. He said, okay, I'll show you a point. So he did some magic on this Jamaat Sati's family, and his daughters got affected very badly. Anyway, he got some assistance, got some help. He went to Nizamuddin at the time to complain. I think it was perhaps the era of Mona Inamul Hassan Rahmatullahi. And he told him that this is the story. There's this person in Bangladesh. He's misguiding people. He's misleading people. What to do? So they said, call this other person who you were talking about, this Amil. I think maybe by that time he graduated. He was still young. Said, you are from Bangladesh, why don't you go? And because this man seems to be like a magician, he's got some magic, he's got some powers, he's doing something. So he came there, he met that magician, and he got into a debate with him, you know, what you're doing. So that magician said, see, can you see my powers? And he pointed to one kettle, and that thing started boiling, and he started doing onto funny things, like some tricks. So this Maulana is telling him, this all is magic, this is not a miracle. This is magic, you went and got it from somewhere. Anyway, that night he calls his whole jamaat, now all his jinnats that he normally speaks to, and he normally consults with them in this matter. So what do we do now? How do we attack this man? How do we stop him? They said, this person has got some sort of a napak protection around him. And remember, all these people, they've got this napak protection around them. They do it. So, as long as he got that, we cannot do anything. But if you break this napak protection, we'll attack him straight away. How are we going to break it? They said, give him one cup of manzil water. You know manzil water? It can destroy a lot of evil. Person is doubting something also in his house, throw the manzil water on that thing first. Don't touch it with your naked hands, with your bare hands. Rather, throw the manzil water, wrap something around your hand, some packet or whatever, then you dispose of it. But you know, once you throw the manzil water, it will kill the effect. So next day he goes back to the peace sub, and he takes the water. He said, see, if you say you're so powerful, just drink this one cup of water. This is normal water. I read on it some Quran, and I blew. It's nothing, you know, there's no poison or anything in this water. So that person said, you know, what's the need for me to drink it, whatever. But he carried on provoking me. Oh, you're so powerful. Drink this one cup of water. Why can't you drink it? As soon as he drank it, that man like lost all his powers. And like almost instantly he became disorientated. And all his people around him, he had all his murids around him, they were shocked. What happened today, Pir Sahib? So that Maulana said, see, I told you all, this man, he's got magic. Eventually, they found out that there was some Hindu pandit, took this man to seven temples. Seven temples they took him to, they gave him, I don't know what, napak things to eat, a whole lot of filth and dirt, and then he got all this magic and all his powers. The whole aim was to misguide the Muslims. You got people like this here in the front, they will be misguiding, giving the wrong message, taking people away from deen. Unfortunately, this is what the enemies of Islam want. What they want? They want us to go away from deen. That's why they put all these different distractions. Take this distraction, right? Go. Waste your time in this. Waste your time in the TV. Waste your time in the movies. Because the moment you are on the straight path, the moment you raise your hands and start making dua, they know what is the effect of that dua. They know what is the power of that dua. So flood the market also with haram and all sorts of sins, all sorts of vices. So respected friends, the most important thing is for us to connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can assist you. Nobody can help you. Nobody can treat you. No amil, no ta'weez, no raqi, no one. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give shifa. So first you solve your problem on the musalla. First you go on the musalla, you cry to Allah ta'ala, whatever it is, if it's myself or my child or anyone, Allah ta'ala, you send the shifa down. After that, this dunya is darul asbab. It's a place where we follow systems. So then you will look within the confines of the shariat. Be very careful where you go to, what sort of treatment you use. You don't want to end up by some wrong person, someone is going to rob you. You don't want to end up falling into kufr, in shirk, in haram. Person is using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's using the Quran Sharif. He's using ayats of the Quran Sharif. He's using things that are endorsed by the Shariat. Then we will now take treatment from such a person. And inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give shifa. Not the treatment, not the ta'weez, not the amal. Always keep our yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person even requires to wear a ta'weez, our ulama give permission for wearing a ta'weez, provided it's the meaning is fine, there's nothing wrong, there's no shirk in it. But at no point should the trust ever be on the ta'weez. The trust always has to be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's like how you're putting burglar guards in your home, or you're putting some electric fencing. You're not putting your trust on that. You know, it's Allah is the protector. So in the same manner, if we need to take some treatment, and inshallah, if we turn our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we change our lives, we make sincere tawbah, make sincere istighfar, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, it is our own actions. This thing that is troubling me is actually the consequences of some wrong that I am doing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is with us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding us, then there's no power on the surface of this earth that will be able to drop us. There's no one that will be able to frighten us. There's no one that will be able to intimidate us. But if we got Allah with us, and if we don't have Allah, then the whole world will not be able to assist us. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعافية اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتهول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا وأكرمنا ولا تهنا وآتنا ولا تحرمنا وآثرنا ولا تؤثر علينا وارضنا عنك وارض عنا اللهم ارض عنا رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي سوريا وفي كشمير وفي برما وفي يمن وفي السودان وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك اللهم افتح لهم فتحا مبينا وانصرهم نصرا عزيزا اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم فك أسرانا وأسر المسلمين اللهم أنزل رحمة من رحمتك وشفاء من شفائك على هذا الوجع أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم يشفيهم أذهب الباس رب الناس واشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.